Hello, ONG family. This is Mara Gale, and tonight's show is dedicated to my friend, the late Dr. Demita Johnson. She and I met when she interviewed me for her TV talk show that she and her husband, Dr. Gene, produced in Los Angeles in the early 2000s. She was one of the most energetic, optimistic, happy, and blessed women I have ever met in my life. Well, this past Saturday, July 19th, was her homegoing ceremony. I'm grateful I had the chance to not only get to know her, but love her and collaborate with her and her husband, Dr. Gene. I even shared her with the OMG listeners in September of 2017, and I'd like to replay it to allow you all to witness her infectious personality with a timely message about balance. I miss you, friend, mighty woman of God, and true gift to all who knew you. Till we meet again, rest in peace, Dr. D.
You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
And of course, we're going to shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called education. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course, I call that motivation.
Lean in. Listen up now. OMG, OMG, welcome to OMG, the Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, author, evangelist, and producer of the newly released film, STEM the Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage points, so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. Maravation is a perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, or speak up and into the lives of others, we experience a more productive world around us, which brings me to OMG and the Mara Gale Radio Show. A part of what I love to do on this show is be a platform or a bridge, if you will, to allow other people who have amazing and wonderful things to say and share to share it with our listeners so that you can be informed and equipped. So tonight's guest is an actual friend of mine. She's a candid conversationalist. She's funny, all get out, and she's more importantly informed. Dr. Demita Johnson is a licensed and ordained minister, and she's also the vice president of God's Power Community. She's also an author of a couple of books, and we're going to talk a little bit about those. One of them is entitled Girl, Don't Be a Fool in Your Single State, and the other is Girl, Don't Be a Fool in a Married State. And she's also a published author of the best seller, Chicken Soup for the African American Soul. So would you be so kind as to put your hands together for a virtual hand clap for my friend, Dr. Demita Johnson. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me, Mara.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Super excited to have you here. So we're going to jump right on in and get down to the nitty gritty. Okay, so I want you to tell our listeners, first of all, so they can hear a little bit about your experience, because we're going to talk about how you can balance, how the success and balance is not a bad word. It's about, we're talking about relationships in business and in life. So first of all, so that we can share the credentials, how long have you been married?
I have been married 33 years. It will be 34 years in October. And what? I, too, am amazed. I'm amazed because my first marriage lasted 6 months. So I, too, am amazed at this.
Absolutely. And I, of course, know your husband, Dr. Gene Johnson. As a matter of fact, you and Dr. Gene were very instrumental in helping STEM have some marketing and promotion tools. You've always been about empowering people and organizations to work together in the body. So I want the opportunity to just share a little bit about that before we get to the nitty-gritty. Marriage, relationship, even touching on how you went through a divorce and were able to recover. So share a little bit about the heart of you and Dr. Gene and God's Power Community and what that's about.
Wow, that's a loaded question. Well, first of all, I haven't been divorced. My first husband died. We had just been married 6 months. And he had a heart attack in the swimming pool, and I was in the bed asleep and didn't know it until someone informed me at the door that there had been an accident. So that's how I found out that my first husband had died. But, you know, even in those 6 months, because I wasn't at a point where I understood how to be successfully married, because I didn't know how to be successfully single, within those 6 months, I was ready to leave already. Because he was an entertainer. He was a singer, so he was always surrounded by people, and people would follow us to our home and call and hang up and just all that kind of stuff. And I had not grown to a point, because you have to be a certain kind of woman to be with a man that's in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't grown to that point where I was able to handle that. So I was just ready to get out of there, because, see, I wanted to have all the bright lights on me. And but instead they want him, so that wasn't gonna work. So
Lord help me, Dr. D. Lord help me. You say the line. I'm not gonna go there. You didn't push him in the pool. I know you didn't push him in the pool.
I did.
Right?
I did. But my husband has accused me. My husband Gene has accused me of killing my first husband. But I didn't do it. I'm innocent.
Listen, anytime somebody or that the man died in a pool, you should kind of just leave it right there in the pool where it was. But when you go on to say he was in the spotlight and you wanted to be in the spotlight, it's kind of, we're going to shut that one down. I'm going to leave that alone, because me and you will be on air going at it. I'm going to leave that right where it is. Let me ask you this. So that was years ago. You've been married for 34 years. Do you have any children?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any kids?
Well, I have never had any children out of my body, but when the thing of it is, I didn't want to marry a man that had children.
But you did.
But I did. He had a 2-year-old, but it really turned out to be a great thing, because she and I got to grow up together, and we're very close right now.
And you've got grandchildren by her now, right?
I have 4 grandchildren and a son in love.
You know, that's what I call all my in-laws. You got to call the in-laws in love, because, see, the marriage is the license, so that's the in-law, but it's the relationship that makes it in love. So I always say my mom in love, my dad in love, or my, you know, sister or son or daughter in love. So that's awesome. You've got a couple of grandchildren and a son in love.
Yes.
And you've been married for 34 years. Now, I want to unpack some of that, because not only have you been married for 34 years, but you guys are in ministry and you work together. So share with our listeners, if you could, and this is just because a part of what I love to do on OMG, you know, everybody sees us on stage. They see you minister, they see you preach, or they see you, you know, signing autographs when I'm on, you know, in a film or things of that nature, but they never get a glimpse of the cost and the price you pay to get to that platform, to get to that place.
Oh, my God.
And because if we don't share with others the struggles and the challenges, they'll really believe we walk in on water and we don't bleed red blood. And that is not the truth. So let's tell the truth and shame the devil. Have you in your marriage, you know, maybe it was early on, did you have a challenge with merging marriage and ministry? Because, you know, I know you're a very vocal person, you know. Mm-hmm. And so was that a challenge? Was it a difficulty to submit? Was it a challenge to kind of, you know, fall in line or to be, to let him pastor and you, you know, fall up under his leadership? What was that like?
All of it was a challenge. First of all, I was praying one day, and I was talking to God, and he said, my son is going to preach the gospel, and it just scared me so bad that I actually stopped praying. I don't want to hear from God anymore because I was not interested in being in ministry, period. So then a few days later, my husband comes, and he said, the Lord told me I'm going to be in ministry and start a church. And this is the first thing that came out of my mouth. And to this day, I don't know why, but I said, I'm not living in a tent and I'm not going to Africa. I don't know why I said that. Where is this coming from? But I knew that there was so much involved in ministry, and I had watched how people had been treated in ministry, and I just didn't want any part of it because I actually felt like I didn't have the right temperament for it, that I wouldn't be someone that would say, oh, baby, bless your heart. You know, it just wasn't who I was. And so it was very difficult to make that transition. But the thing of it is, we started ministry in 1991, so we had already been teaching courses. We taught Christian entrepreneurs, all, you know, trying to helping people get their businesses going as Christians. So we had already been teaching. I taught a class. It was called ACT, and it was Acting by the Communication of Your Thoughts. It was an acting class because, you know, I have a little drama background,
yes,
Mara, you know, very little. But I do have a little background in that. So we were already teaching. So the transition was not as difficult, but the responsibility of having a church was humongous. Yeah. And then you even talk about working together and being in ministry together and being around one another all day long. Let me tell you something, ladies. If you ain't real fond of your husband, don't be trying to work with him because he's going to be trying to tell you what to do, and then you're going to be trying to tell him what to do, and then the other employees are looking at you too like, wait a minute, are these the people I'm supposed to be following? And so sometimes it's difficult. But what I learned to do, Mara, I learned to submit. And because I understand that submission is strength, it's not weakness. And so I understood that this man could not get to where God wanted him to be without my submission and my strength. And so once I understood that, then it was easy for me to do that because I wasn't doing it as unto him. I was doing it as unto God.
You better preach, teach up in here, Dr. D'Amiga. You know, I heard so many nuggets in that conversation that I want to back it up a little bit. You said you were talking about the responsibility of having a church. And the reason I want to kind of camp out on that just for a little bit is because sometimes people will be on a speaking circuit or they'll be an evangelist. They're out there, you know, maybe singing, and the ministry seems amazing because you're on stage and everybody's like, oh, if you ever had a church, I'd join your church. You know, I love the way you break the word down. And so there are so many evangelists and musicians or singers or people that actually have a gift to share the word of God, but there's a different kind of anointing that rests on pastors than it does on those who have a gift to maybe share the word of God, break down the word of God, teach the word of God, and even preach the word of God. But pastoring, that's a different kind of strength. And so when you talked about the responsibility of it, because you all had been teaching these classes and it was powerful, what would you say would be maybe one or two of the most challenging parts of pastoring a church, you know, being the leaders of a church where all the responsibility lies on you, if the lights being cut on, salaries being paid. And I remember back in the heyday, I mean, there were so many people on staff. You guys, you know, had an amazing media ministry as well, and you were helping other people do commercials. I mean, you were in the community and in the church empowering the masses. So what would you say are one or two of the more challenging or difficult things that, as a first lady, you experienced when you guys, when your husband was pastoring a people?
Well, I can tell you what it is. There's one answer for it all, and it's the people. It's the people aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband and I talked about how when we went to the school of ministry, how we learned all these things. I mean, all this stuff about teaching this and teaching that, but there was never a course on how to deal with the people. And that, my friend, is the most important thing of it all. Because this is what I learned. Some people will be with you until, and some will be with you unto. Some people will be with you until you get on their nerve, until you don't give them their way, until you look at them funny. And some will be with you unto. Well, the ones unto are the ones that you can depend on. But you don't always know that because of the mask that people wear. And people only show you what they want you to see. And so in ministry, you have to have a spirit of discernment, because if not, things will be going on that you don't have any idea going on. People will be playing tricks and manipulation and all of that kind of stuff, because we better believe that everyone that comes, that walks into your local church, is not there for the same reason.
Yes, I believe that.
You know, I've found, come on, some women come to find a husband.
Yes,
some men come to find a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Some people come in there to get a job. Some people trying to get the pastor. You know, some people want to start their music career. I mean, it's all types
some
of reasons
want to take
why
your
people
position.
Are there. First lady, yes. Everybody wants to be first lady because they think all you have to do is sit there, look pretty, let your husband preach, and then you live a good life. It's nothing like that. It is nothing like that, and people don't understand what goes on, what all of it entails when you're in ministry, because now you're not only responsible for you and your husband, you're responsible for the lives of other people. So you just can't be flippant and just say anything to them, because, see, they're receiving that as truth. So you have to understand, you have to be ready to hear from God before you speak into someone else's life. And then my favorite statement: why don't we believe who people are? Why don't we believe that people are who they show us they are the first time? Because over a matter of time, people will truly show you their true character. Now, you've got to open your eyes, and you have to see that and not say, oh, well, you know, they didn't mean any harm. So-and-so, you know. Oh, no, sweetie. You know, I have my little story that I share with people, and because, you know, you kind of hit a spot with me with this church thing, but we had someone in our ministry that was a hairdresser. And so because we believe in supporting everyone, we told everyone to go and get their hair done by this person in our church. So one time I went, and the person gave me a perm and color at the same time.
Oh,
and so
you
I noticed,
bald head. Oh, my.
Come on. I noticed when she was rinsing my hair that it was kind of coming out. And I said, what's wrong with my hair? She said, oh, nothing. It's all right. But it wasn't all right. It was falling out. So I shared this with another first lady friend of mine that had been in ministry longer than me, and she said to me, that was done on purpose. I said, oh, no, not sister so-and-so. She loves us. And so my first lady friend said, okay. Well, it wasn't but maybe a month or two later that I found out that sister so-and-so really didn't even like me. I didn't know with my bald head. So then I had to grow my hair back. And then I had to grow to understand that I can't be everything to everybody, and I need to check with the Holy Spirit before I start trying to support and promote everyone.
That was not only a valuable lesson, but a humbling experience, because, of course, your heart and your goal, your heart was in the right place too, because you guys do kingdom business. You were doing kingdom business,
ma'am.
and promoting other businesses. You
Absolutely.
Thought, wow, great, you go in, you go to support, but, you know, people have their own agendas. I'm so sorry to hear that, but I'm so glad to know your hair is all the way down your back now. So obviously that was not for, that was not an until, you know, that was only until and not on to, because you
that's
straight
it.
Up
that's
got some
it.
Beautiful locks. So I mean, beautiful hair. And so that's an interesting story though, but you're absolutely right. You know, pastors have to have the compassion of the people, and at the same time,
right.
the discernment to recognize all the shenanigans that can take place. And, you know, I'm a new first lady, so I have,
right.
you know, the kinds of experiences and stories, of course, that you're sharing on air. So I don't want VP to kind of tune in and say, oh, first lady, I don't know nothing about that. I'm literally, I know I've got a lot of girlfriends that are first ladies. You know that. I've
mm-hmm.
got a lot of pastor and first lady friends, and mm-hmm. I know that that's a struggle and a challenge. And you guys have been great examples for me to know how to carry myself as a first lady and how to use wisdom and discernment and be selective about, you know, associations and friendships. And I've got
absolutely
sweet people at our church. I mean, syrupy, I get an eye cavity. They've been so, so incredibly supportive and sweet. And so, but we, you know, as with all things, we all have to use wisdom. And on that note
That's
of wisdom,
right.
That note of wisdom, you know, I know you and I both went to Crenshaw Christian Center, or kind of you came out of that ministry, you and Dr. Jean
Absolutely.
Years ago. And I know
yes.
Dr. Betty has this phrase in this conference, I believe it's called Wisdom from Above, where she takes, you
yes.
know, practical situations and she shares, you know, personal stories. Is there a story that you would like to share about perhaps in marriage, not just the submitting in the marriage sense in terms of him pastoring, but perhaps in business? Because you mentioned earlier, you know, ladies, girls, women, be fond of your husband if you're going to work with him every day. And you and Dr. Jean, obviously, you know, y'all have worked together from when I knew you back in the day, and then you're still working
yeah.
together. So clearly, I know y'all are fond of each other, because not only are you together in ministry, but when we hang out, y'all together, you know, we go places,
mm-hmm.
you know, we go to dinner and lunch together. So is there a nugget or a nugget from below, some advice from afar, you know, since she's got the wisdom from above of how God grew you, in reference to that.
Perfect. Well, one of the things I know is prayer brings intimacy. And when you are continuously praying for someone, you develop such a heart for them that you always want them to do well. One of the advantages that we had when we got together, we were not saved. I was trying to act like I was a Catholic, and he was a recovering Jehovah's Witness. So neither one of us knew. We really didn't know the Lord, but we liked each other. You know, we mm-hmm. were just like the best of friends. And I had girlfriends that I used to hang around, but then once I met him, I didn't hang around them as much. I don't think they were that fond of him, but I really liked being around him. We have the best time. We laugh. We make jokes. I mean, we just love being around each other. That's so important. You know, in some marriages, people say, well, I got to take a vacation away from my husband. I'm like, well, I don't have to take a vacation. Listen, I don't want to take a vacation from my husband, because if I experience something that's a lot of fun, I want him to have fun also. And so we are very, very close. Now, when we finally got saved, we were in Houston, Texas, and we got saved at John Osteen, the late John Osteen's church, Lakewood. What happened is we began to be in the presence of other successfully married couples. That's the key. If you want a good marriage, you've got to be around other people with good marriages. So Bishop Ivy Hilliard said he and his wife don't spend time around people that make jokes about their spouses. They don't think that's cute, you know. It's all about respecting who you're married to. And so we began to be around others with successful marriages, and we began to want to have that kind of marriage also. And that's one of the keys having a good marriage, just being around other people with good marriages. Sometimes even you might have to separate from your single friends because, you know, you don't need to be listening to certain conversations that they're having when you are married. And so I think that's one of the main things. And we spend so much time around one another, which I absolutely love. I mean, if he leaves and goes someplace, I try to at least give him 30 minutes before I call and say, hey, what you doing? But sometimes, like 5 minutes ago, I'm like, hey, what you doing? I'm going, you know. Like, but, you know, we just like each other like that. You know what I'm saying?
I believe it. You know, I done been in the room with the two of y'all, and I'm like, y'all about to give me an eye cavity. Not because of the public display of affection, but because mm-hmm. of the mutual respect and the adoration. You know, you both allow one another to drive in your own lane. And he's your biggest cheerleader, and you're his biggest. He's your biggest fan, and you're his biggest cheerleader. Because if Dr. Gene's listening, he's gonna be like, "I ain't no cheerleader, Argyle. What are you trying to talk about? He all man, and he's a man's man. Like men dig being around him because he's like a man, you know."
Right.
But you're absolutely right. You know, respecting the person that you're married to. You know, and that's a loaded question and subject that I'd love for us take some time and unpack, because you don't get to 34 years with a tongue that's quick to cut somebody. You don't get to 34 years with a mind that's always meditating on what's not right about your space. You don't get to 34 years when you don't look at the man you love and know his strengths, know the redeeming qualities, and know he is capable and competent and well able to care for you. So on that note, we're going to put a pin in it. We're going to make a pause.
Okay.
We're going to pause for a cause. You're listening to Up to Me Radio. This is the OMG Omara Gale Radio Show. My special guest tonight is Dr. Demita Johnson. I know some of you may have questions, so if you have some questions, we're going to open up the lines after we get back. If you've got questions, feel free to call in at 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246, and you're going to press 1 to be entered into queue. We'll be right back after this special announcement.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life, and an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up, the number 2, magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Welcome back to OMG. My name is Mara Gale. I'm your host of the O Mara Gale Radio Show, and my special guest today is none other than Dr. Demita Johnson. She's been married for 34 years, and I know some of you may have some questions, so we're going to open up the lines in a little bit while we explore this next conversation and unpack it a little bit. The phone number is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into queue, and then I'll call out your last 4 digits of your phone number when you're ready. So, Dr. Demita, let's tap on that.
Yes, ma'am.
Because one of the things that I think, you know, when I was younger and foolish and naive in relationships, I believe speaking my mind was what I needed to do. I felt it was my rightful place. Now, as I grew up, I left those childish things alone, and I'm calling it childish. For those of you who do nag and don't have respect for men or the men in your life, I want you to hear my heart on this, and more importantly, I want you to hear Dr. Demita's heart on this. It doesn't gain you anything. Am I right about it, Dr. Demita?
Absolutely. It doesn't gain anything. There are many times when I wanted to say something quick, like a quick retort, but then I understood this is bigger than me. See, marriage is bigger than just the two of you. You're an example to other people who want to be successfully married. They're watching you. People are watching how you handle different situations when there's a disagreement. How do you handle it? You know, so I understand that this is much bigger than about the two of us.
It is. And you know what? Hold on to that thought. We've got a caller. I'm going to allow them to come into the conversation. If the last four digits are 3197, caller with the last four digits, 3197, you're on live air. And I'm Mara Gale, of course, with Dr. Demita Johnson. Go ahead. Caller 3197. I can't hear them. So maybe we'll.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hi, this is Vanessa Williams. Hi, Dr. D. It's a pleasure to be on.
Hi,
hello.
Vanessa Williams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is this your first time listening in?
It is.
Well, we hope to have you back again. We hope you become a lifetime listener. And go ahead, share your question.
My question is, Dr. D, you know me and my husband very well. You guys were speaking of business. Now, we were speaking on getting into business. Unfortunately, I am a control freak. It's like I want to control everything, and I want him to control what I want him to control, and that's it. And I know that's not how we're supposed to run, but I'm having difficulty of him when he wants his opinion and how to do stuff. It's like, no, I got that. I already know what I want to do. And I hate to feel like I want him to feel as part of, you know, the business, but yet still it's like, I want to control everything. And it's like, I want you to be my staff instead of, mm-hmm. you know, partnering up with me on that. So I'm having trouble of letting go and letting him control parts of business.
Can I ask a question? And Dr. Demita, I'm going to let you answer something, but I want to ask you this. Did you all specify which lanes you would be driving in? And I mean that to say, because whenever you're doing a partnership, if someone is better financially and they're the CFO and someone else is better creatively or in sales and they're the person that can go out and do the hustle, then if you've both are aware of your strengths and the lanes you're driving in, would that help you perhaps relink some of the power? Or are you saying, I'm good in finances and he's great in sales, but I want to tell him how to sell and I want to tell him how to pitch and I want to tell him how to promote, even though I should be in the office with finances. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, exactly.
Mm. Go ahead, Dr. D, your friend. Look, Dr. D, your friend.
Well, listen, hello, Vanessa. I love you. I miss you so much. Oh,
same
I miss
here.
You. She moved away. She left me and went to Arizona. Just like Mara, you know, people I love, they just run off and move
we
to other
ain't
places.
Leave you. We just geographically unavailable and geographically unattractive, but we still here. We down like folks like that without us going back to the coach. Come on, girl. Help Vanessa out a bit. Because I'm sure this question is not just hers. This question, I'm sure, is for the other women and or men that are listening in who haven't quite defined their roles and or aren't running in the proper lane. So share with people how you guys do that or what some advice you
do. Well, that's so good. That's so good because, Mara, you're absolutely correct. See, it doesn't mean that just because he's the man that he has to have the main role in this or that you have to have the subservient role, if you want to say it like that. It just means who's better at what. So before you start your business, you have to establish, okay, this is your part. You're good at this. This is my part. I'm good at this. And then you get an understanding so that once you start the business, it runs smoothly. Because Vanessa is very strong. I mean, she could probably do the whole thing by herself. And I know she's trying to, you know. It's really good, but there has to be a give and take in what you're going to do. And then it has a lot to do with what type of business that you're going to start and what are the roles and how will everything. And those things need to be set up and established before you try to start the business. Because as I say to people, like they say, oh, small businesses fail. Small businesses and new businesses don't fail. It's the people that start the small businesses and things that fail. And so you have to work those things out up front ahead of time, which I'm sure you will because you're very smart. And then when you go into it, now you're still going to have some challenges. I mean, that's life. You know, we understand that. No two people agree on everything all the time. That's impossible. But the thing of it is, it's okay to disagree as long as you stay in love and keep the business going.
I have another question. So your business, you already started it? You've already launched it, correct?
No. We're just basically in business planning. And the funny thing is we're trying to open up a nice sports bar. And who knows sports better than
your husband?
Than men, exactly.
All of you. My husband knows sports. If we opened up a sports bar, I would say, honey, you run it, and I will do whatever you need me to do. Because he knows all things sports. I love his brilliant mind.
That's so good. But you know what? Yeah. He may know sports, but you may know business. You understand?
Right.
It's just like, this is what I tell people with churches. You know, just because you love God and you know how to preach, that doesn't make you successful. You need to know how to run that church like a business.
Yeah.
See, it's all about business. You know, Jesus was about business. That's why he had a treasurer, because he's about business. So I think that's a wonderful idea. When you open it, I'm going to come out there. But anyway, so make sure that he can take care of the sports part, Vanessa. But I believe, I'm just saying, but I believe that you're supposed to take care of the business end of it, the money, the, you know, getting the different things, you know, the drinks and setting up contracts with companies and stuff like that. But I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but it's just a suggestion. But I think that would make it work really good.
Right.
Okay.
Once you guys, I want to just piggyback on a little bit of that. Once you guys really decide who's doing what in what lane, I will say this to you, Vanessa. Keep your hands off, because if you guys set a plan and you say he's going to run in this lane and you're going to run in that, then you have to trust that he may not get all of it right, nor will you, because business gets messy. Anybody that has a business, owns a business, knows you're going to make mistakes. But guess what? And some of the mistakes will be valuable in that they'll cost you a lot. But what you gain from even the mistakes that you make will teach you how not to do those in the future. But one can't make a mistake if mommy's always stepping in and stopping a person from scraping their knee. Sometimes it's in that scraped knee with that $200 deal that'll save you when it's a $200,000 deal on the line. That's my two cents on that. So when you guys find out who's stronger in which areas, let him do it, you do it. And then find somebody else that can be accountable to you guys on that, meaning find some mentors who are really good at the things you guys say you want to do, because it always helps to have someone that has more experience than you teaching and sharing, and then you can give back to someone who wants to be where it is that you're going. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your question and you listening in.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Love
you.
Bye.
So, Dr. D, all right, let's get on that respect thing, because, you know, that's a hot topic for a lot of women and for a lot of different reasons. Some people don't talk properly to their spouses, and that's both male and female. And sometimes it's not even the verbal, it's the weight of the words when you say them. It's the silence that can smack somebody upside their head more than the words sometimes, because I believe when someone's having a conversation with you and you're not saying something back to them because you're mad, that you are actually being more disrespectful than if you just said, listen, I don't have anything nice to say right now. What would come out would be wrong. Give me a minute. Give me five, even 10, versus someone saying, do you hear me? Do you hear me? And no one's responding. So unpack a little bit about the power and the potency that disrespect shows in a household. You know,
how you can kill and destroy
just with a look, a word, or a tone.
That's so good. Because you know what my daddy told me?
What?
Even a dog will wag his tail when you're talking to him. So anyway, here's the thing.
Y'all from the South, obviously, because that sound like my friend TV Blake from Louisiana Shreveport. That sound like some TV Blake would say. Even a dog would wag his tail. I want to pull out a banjo. But go ahead. We're gonna get off the dog and talk about the respect.
So you know, when I married my husband, he didn't talk as much as he talks now. He talks a lot. And, you know, we walk every morning. And he, like, talks the whole hour and a half, 2 hours and everything like that. And, I'll get a word in every now and then. But I understand that he needs to talk. You understand what I'm saying? And so, but we're very respectful of one another. If I really don't feel like, having a conversation, I'll say, can we talk about this later or something like that? Mm-hmm. The worst thing to me is the silent treatment. You know why? It takes so much energy and effort not to talk to somebody that you're used to talking to all the time. It's worse than just keep on talking. So here's the thing. I developed this thing. Like, I don't have a challenge if I'm wrong saying, you know what, I was wrong. I missed that. Because I don't let it be personal. Because I understand I'm not perfect. I'm going to miss it every now and then. And so I can say I'm sorry. And even if the husband try to carry it on, girl, just jump on his back and kiss him or something like that. That'll just break him down. He can't even be mad.
On his back and
kiss him. Girl, but he can't eat. How he gonna be mad with that? Can't nobody stop. Girl, you better stop playing. You know, just turn it into something fun. Because you know what, ladies, listen to me. Life is too short and peace is too sweet to waste your time fighting with your own husband. First of all, the Bible says the two of you are one. So it's just like fighting with yourself. When you fight with your spouse, you fight with yourself and you lose your power. See, the power is in the two of you coming together. That's where the power is. So when the two of you are going at each other, it's like pulling your own teeth, girl. You know it's going to hurt. Mm. And so the thing of it is you just got to
pulling your own teeth. You know it hurts. I should have told you fasten your seatbelt. I can't even go there with you. I can't even. You know it's going to hurt. It's like pulling your own teeth. Country, see Shreveport.
Is that crazy? Girl, you better go to a dentist and get you some Novocaine or something. That'll pull your own tooth. But so that's what I'm saying. So in marriage, this is what I tell women, because women mean so much to me.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, sometimes you just got to lose those childish ways. And I can't be looking at him to my, look what he's doing. I'll show him. Who wins in that?
Yeah.
Nobody wins.
Yeah.
Nobody wins. And so this is what I believe. I'm going to be the best wife that I can.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not enough for you, then that's your challenge. See, I tell women that if you say, my husband cheated on me, he didn't cheat on you, baby. He cheated on himself. See, it has nothing to do with you. He said, well, if I lose some weight, no, it don't have nothing to do with that. See, that's in him. So that's something that he has to deal with, and never, ever let that get on you like you did something wrong. So just always be the best person that you can be. And when I've done the best, I got to be honest now. If I'm acting a little crazy, I got to be saying, okay, girl, you're getting a little cray-cray. But if not, because, sometimes I have to talk to myself like, I can't even stand my own voice. I don't even want to be around myself,
Lord, help me. Help me, Lord.
So sometimes when I'm like getting a little cray-cray, and I know, because my husband used to call me Sybil because he said I had so many personalities. But I've been working on that. And sometimes those other personalities will try to come out and I'll be acting a little. And I have to say, wait, girl, wait, go in the bathroom. Go pray. Go get yourself together. Because we know when we've done wrong.
Yeah, we do.
We know that. But we got to be big enough to say, I apologize. I didn't mean to do that. I was out of line. I was grouchy. Sometimes we just be grouchy.
That's
I'm a woman.
Statement.
I was grouchy and, whatever the situation is.
Everything that you said, I completely second that outside of I don't have multiple personalities. You cray-cray, I'm going to see you on nothing. Now, my husband might say I do, but me on air, me and the people listening, I do not have multiple relationships. I sound like I did not have sexual relationships with that one. Okay, so listen, if you want to call in, ask a question, make a comment, the phone number is 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246. You're listening to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. My special guest tonight is none other than Dr. Demita Johnson. We're going to take a short pause for the cause. When we come back, if you've got any questions or comments, feel free to call in. You'll just press 1. We'll enter you into the queue. Of course, this is Up to Me Radio. It's also available, this show, as well as some of our other shows, are available on iTunes, the Stitcher app, as well as Google Play. So all you have to do is search for Up, the number 2, Me Radio, and you can listen to some of my older podcasts as well as some of our other radio show hosts. So we thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Welcome back. Welcome back to OMG. I'm Mara Gill, our host of the OMG radio show. My special guest tonight is Dr. Demita Johnson, and we've got a couple of people that want to get in. So I'm going to take the first caller I'm going to take, last four digits are 7718. 7718. You're on live on OMG with Dr. Demita Johnson and myself, Mara Gill. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Johnson. This is TV Blake. I was just mentioned by Ms. Mara Gill. I feel like I got summoned onto the show. Me and my country phrases have been summoned.
Did that not sound like you?
Yes, it did. It did. And it's probably something I have actually said in the past, though, which is hysterical. I was just wanting to call in because you have been all on my street. I mean, I was just saying to myself, I was like, wow, they're right in my living room. I mean, just, literally in my living room. I just walked out of my office and I had to get outside so I could talk. My husband and I actually work together. It's been interesting. It's been an interesting journey. I'm sorry, let me turn my radio off. It's an interesting journey, but the and maybe you can give me just a couple tips, is how do you regain or tell a friendship when almost like the business has just beat it out of you?
Your voice got a little far away. What did you just say? How did you?
Actually, let me take it off of this. I was just saying, how do you rekindle the friendship between you and your spouse when it feels like your business relationship has beat the friendship out of you? And just wrestled our friendship to the ground, stomped it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an easy one. We have date day. Every Friday, we go on a date, and we don't talk about business at all. So we'll go to the movies. We'll go to Universal Studios. We'll go to the mall. We'll go horseback riding. If you can do this, I don't know what your schedules are, but if you can plan one day a week where the two of you, it's just about the two of you, that will definitely rekindle whatever you've
lost. Do you all do that currently?
Yes, we do. We have date day every Friday.
I'm sorry. Not you, Dr. D. I'm sorry. Are you doing that currently?
Yes, we go out on Saturday night. We've missed a few as of late just because of extremely long work hours, and we're working 7 days a week for a season. That season is gone. But, yeah, we have a date night on Saturday night.
So for someone who has a date night, who works with their spouse, and she's attempting to rekindle the friendship because the business relationship has beaten the life out of it, what would be another way that you could encourage her to try to rekindle that? Another way to kind of light the fire of the friendship when it's been tainted or beaten out of her?
Well, it's not gone. It's just pushed down. It's still there. You know, the very things that we felt for our spouses when we said I do, it's still there. But sometimes it gets pushed down, so we've got to work at pulling it back up. So instead of just waiting until that Saturday where you have your date day together, begin to do something every day. I read this someplace, and it's really good, like leave a note in the bathroom and say, you know, I love you, or man, you were really on it last night, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just begin to, like, leave little notes, or, like, sometimes if we go to the store, like, I like the little hot tamales, so buy me hot tamales. Or just do little things. Do something every day that is working on getting that friendship back. And the way that you show people that the friendship is there is not by your words, it's by your actions. So you just start doing little things around the house for him, you know, straightening up his drawer where all his stuff is all crazy. You know how men keep their drawers. Just start doing
simple
little things.
Acts of kindness. You know what that reminds me of, Dr. D? And I'd like to add to that. There was a movie called, I think it was called Fire Courage, something Courage. I can't remember the name of it. But they had a love there. Fireproof. They had a love dare in there where they literally, the person who needed to infuse the relationship with something, did a love dare every single day. And some were words of kindness, some were acts of kindness. They were personal, something simple that they knew the person liked. Or it was like if you, let's say your husband likes basketball and you don't like basketball, you decide you're going to watch a basketball game with him just because he watches basketball, and don't do anything else while you're doing it. Don't crochet, don't knit, don't hair, don't do any of that. Don't even pick up your cell phone, put it down and be present and watch it. And then ask him questions about it. I mean, I know these seem like elementary things, but if you're looking at rekindling, you kind of have to start back at the beginning of what helped you guys get together. Remember some of the things that you guys did when you were dating, and perhaps those will be kind of the axis on which will propel you back into a full-fledging forest fire. Teresa, thank you so much for calling in, and we really appreciate you listening and calling in. What a great question to ask. I'm sure you're not the only person listening that has that challenge, but we really appreciate your transparency and your honesty.
Yes.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Alrighty. God bless. Okay, caller with the last four digits, 1060. Caller with the last four digits, 1060. You're on air, and I'm Mara Gale, and you're also on air with Dr. Demita Johnson.
Hi, Dr. Demita Johnson. This is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing?
Hello,
I don't even get a hello. He starts off with, no.
Let me say this. I am going through anxiety, talking withdrawals, me and my client. I'm interrupting my therapy session. I'm going. I didn't know I had to press one to go through a shoe. I'm like, what the hell is that? I done hung up, tried to text you, call you, everything. But I have a question.
Hello, Miss Love. What's your name again, beautiful?
My name is Jeanette Abney.
Jeanette, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in. I'm Mara. Good to meet you. Go ahead with your question.
Welcome. Even though I've been on hold for 15 minutes, but it's all good. I have a question because in regards to being successful and being married. Now, I've been knowing my husband since I was 14 years old, and I'm a therapist. Now, in addition to being a therapist, I also own two outpatient counseling centers. So I talk all day. I do therapy all day. And it drives my husband crazy being married to a therapist. So I'm trying to balance this out because I think that he would also make a good therapist, but he's introverted where I'm extroverted. So what can I do? I heard you tell the other listener to basically spend the one day a week, and I was like, ooh, one day a week? I didn't want to do one day a month. So what can I do in regards to balance this out?
Question, were you a therapist when he married you?
Yes, I was, but he's been knowing me since I was 14 years old. So he always knew that I like helping people, but he don't like helping people, and he's kind of selfish with it, so he wants me all to himself, and he don't like sharing me with my clients.
And you want him to be a therapist too?
No, I think he would make a good therapist, but he don't want to be a therapist because he don't like talking to other people because he feel like their problem is their problem. where when my phone rings, it drives him crazy. When I'm checking my Facebook, he all frowned up. So he'd be like, can I just have one day, just one day with no phone, no Facebook, no nothing. Just give me one day.
Okay, and I got a question for you. Do you like, you enjoy your husband? You like being married to him?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So look at this. There's so many women that would love to have a man that was trying to spend more time with them. So that's the first feather in your cap that you need to be thankful for. The second thing is, I think you need to listen to him, because I've seen women that don't listen to their husbands, but then there's someone else that will. I'm not saying that he's going to go someplace else, but I think that your marriage should be your first bond. And all the other people you're trying to help, they're not going to put you before their man or woman. And so what I'm saying to you is there has to be a balance. There can be a balance between being successful and then also having your life be on balance. So the thing of it is, one of the things I want you to work on is your attitude towards your husband and the situation, because that's going to have a lot to do with how the thing plays out. But now I want you to begin to pull back a little bit on your job, because that should not be your number. Your husband has to be a priority over anything else that you do in that sense. Of course, we know God is our first priority, but then he has to be our next priority, even over your children. And then begin to give him the time that he needs. And when he sees that you're making the effort to give him the time that he needs, then he's going to ease up off of you, and you're going to have a really, really good and fruitful relationship. So you need to make the adjustment, not him. Love
Amen.
You.
We,
I love you.
You know I'm mad.
And thank you so much. We thank you so much for calling in. Dr. D, our show has just sped by. Can you let
us know? Can you believe it?
I know, it's gone. So I'm going to do this because I have 2 minutes to give you. So share with our listeners how they can follow you and find out about your website and all the things that you're doing. But then I also believe I should have you back on so we can do a little powwow about some of the other things, God's Power Ministry. And maybe we'll have Dr. Jean come on with you. We'll let you guys do a tag team because I'm used to talking to the both of you anyway. So share with the listeners your social media tabs and your website, and then we'll have you back on later.
Absolutely. Well, of course, I know you've been listening to me talk about these different areas of being married and being single, and I'm going to tell you about my two ebooks. One is Girl, Don't Be a Fool in Your Single State. The other one is Girl, Don't Be a Fool in Your Married State. And you can get to those by going to www.gpc-csem.us/ GDBAF, I know, -IYSS.
So let me tell you what I'm going to ask the people to do, or I'm going to ask you to do. Either send them to a social media site that has that particular website on it so they can click on the link.
Perfect. Go to www.csemn.info. www.csemn.info, or you may call me at 323-577-9295. That's 323-577-9295. And my email address is drdemita2@gmail.com. drdemita2@gmail.com. So either of those three ways, www.csemn.info, 323-577-9295, or drdemita2@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. As you all know, I'm host Mara Gale, and I do this show every single Thursday night. You can continue the conversation with me on social media. I can be found on Facebook at Mara Gale Mara Gale. Also on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, I can be found at Mara Gale. That's MauraGale. And if all of that's too much, you can always go to my website, MauraGale.com, and link up with all of my social media channels there. Of course, I recently released a film, STEM, The Movement. If you haven't purchased your copy yet, please go to stemthemovement.org. stemthemovement.org. org. This is the kind of film that'll bless your life. We share our real life stories with you. We reveal so that others can heal. We thank you so much for tuning in tonight, Dr. Demita. I thank you so much for being my special guest. We're going to allow my OMG theme song to take us on home. God bless you.
I love you, Mara.
I love you.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m.
Oh.